Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of Jesus. Today is what's traditionally known in the church year as Good Shepherd Sunday. And I bet from hearing the readings from Holy Scripture today, you know why today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. For the readings speak of God as a shepherd of his people, the God who seeks out his sheep who have strayed, his sheep who have been scattered in all places, the God who comes to rescue them and deliver them and gather them to himself. In today's gospel reading, Jesus says that he is a good shepherd, or to quote him exactly, I am the good shepherd. He says that twice. I am the good shepherd in verse 11, and then in verse 14 he says it again, I am the good shepherd. The point is driven home for emphasis, so it will sink into our minds and also into our hearts that our faith will rest upon Jesus, the good shepherd. Now, in the Gospel of John, there are many I am occurrences. I think it's seven times, but I am not sure of that. I need to go count it. When the Lord God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, commissioning Moses to go back to Egypt to be an instrument through which the Lord God set his people Israel free, Moses was hesitant to do this at first. Moses spoke of his inadequacy to the task, and the Lord said, don't worry about that, I'll take care of that. And then Moses said, again, maybe in hesitancy, well, who shall I tell my people? Who shall I tell my people the name of the one who has sent me? And the Lord God answered Moses, tell them that I am who I am. We know that as Yahweh. In the Old Testament, when the name Yahweh occurs, it is in all capital letters as Lord. When you're reading the Old Testament and you see the word Lord in all capital letters, this is a name by which the merciful God, the God who delivers, the God who redeems, makes himself known to Israel and makes himself known to us. So in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says these I am sayings, I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is making a claim for himself as the Lord God. Jesus reveals himself and speaks of himself in today's gospel reading that he knows the Father and the Father knows him. And this speaks of that relationship between the first and second persons of the Holy Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. Now the Holy Spirit is not left out in this, because the Holy Spirit works through the means of grace to reveal the triune God to you and me, the only God there is, the God who has graciously acted to redeem you from your sins, though you and I do not deserve to be redeemed. We do not deserve to be forgiven. We do not deserve to be saved. We do not deserve to become part of God's family on earth. But again, the Lord God is merciful to those who are sinners. The Lord God is merciful to those who break His commandments, to those who by nature are sinful and unclean. So don't hesitate to confess that you are a sinner, that you are by nature sinful and unclean, for Jesus did not come to call those who think themselves righteous to repentance, but rather sinners to repentance and faith in Him. So, again, Jesus makes claims about Himself and defines for us what He, the Good Shepherd, is. He says, "I am the Good Shepherd." Well, how do we know what the shepherd is, who he is, what he does? He tells us, "The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Again, there you have Jesus in his role as the Good Shepherd defined. The Good Shepherd goes to the cross and sacrifices himself for his people, for the forgiveness of their sins, to take those sins away, to blot them out as if they never were. The Good Shepherd, of course, was raised again on the third day. So when Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd, it didn't just apply to the people of his own day. It applies to his people of every time, every place, every generation, even to those saints of the Old Testament who looked forward in faith to the coming of the Redeemer. So Jesus, when he says, "I am the Good Shepherd," he's saying that he is your shepherd too. And this word "good" is important also. You could say that as a shepherd, he is the paragon of what a shepherd should be. He demonstrates his shepherding to us by his death on the cross and his resurrection. But how do we become sheep of this good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep? Jesus compares himself to a hired hand or a hireling who is serving in the role of a shepherd, a false shepherd, by the way, for the sake of money, of gain of any kind, of stature in the eyes of others. Well, Jesus is the one who was despised and rejected by men. Jesus did not care a thing about his stature in the eyes of others. He came to die for his people. And you, as redeemed, do see Jesus as the one of supreme stature. He is the one who is worthy of the greatest honor in the Holy Christian Church, because he is the one, by his death, by his resurrection, by the preaching of his gospel, reveals to us the Father and the Son with whom we have relationship. Now, the hired hand, the hireling, does not own the sheep. He does not really care for the sheep. And when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees from the wolf. "Pack your bags, Martha, we're going out of town," is what this hireling, in essence, says. He leaves the sheep undefended because he cares nothing for the sheep, and what happens is the wolf comes along and snatches the sheep and scatters them. And again, in today's reading from Ezekiel, we have examples of a false shepherd, a hireling, when the scripture says, the fat and the strong shepherds the Lord God will destroy because they are unfaithful to their calling. Guess what? I, as a pastor in Christ Church, and other pastors are under shepherds of Christ, and they are to be faithful in their proclamation of God's word, not to introduce novelty, not to say, I don't like that, so I'm not going to make reference to it, but rather to teach God's word in its truth and purity, and proclaim the one upon whom that word is centered, our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the false shepherd cares nothing for the sheep. He flees when he sees the wolf coming. But when the wolf of enmity and death came and attacked our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not flee. He gave himself over to the will of the Father to die for his people's sins. In the Gospel of John, Jesus approaches his crucifixion with faith and certainly knowing that he will be exalted by being lifted up on the cross, and he will draw all people to himself through the proclamation of that cross. Jesus has this confidence because he knows that he has been sent by God in the flesh to be the shepherd of his people, to redeem them and deliver them from sin and death and hell. Again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and there is that divine name, I am Yahweh, the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me. Now, the New International Version helps us to understand that my own, because it paraphrases certainly, but this is what Jesus is talking about as a good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the confession of faith of one of Jesus' sheep. The confession of King David. The confession of God's faithful people for nearly 3,000 years. I'm sure you love Psalm 23. You could probably recite it from memory, because this is what the redeemed of Christ do. They do not say, by my own goodness I have come into the family of God. They say, no, by God's mercy demonstrated in Christ, I have come into the family of God. By his gracious word of forgiveness, by the word joined with the waters of holy baptism, I have come into the family of God, and my good shepherd keeps me in that family through the voice of the gospel, through the voice of the word, through the voice of the preaching of Christ crucified and risen. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus compares his knowledge of his sheep and their knowledge of him in the same terms he speaks of his relationship with God the Father. And think about this. That word know does not mean, well, I know what 2 and 2 are, I think it's 5. No, this is an experiential knowledge. This is the knowledge of someone who has come to know another person intimately through experience of that person. And so it is with Jesus' knowledge of us and our knowledge of Jesus through his word and sacraments. And this is important. This is so very important here. Jesus says he lays down his life for the sheep. Do you believe that Jesus laid down his life on the cross for you willingly? Do you believe that he did so to forgive you of all of your sins, to restore you to relationship with the triune God, to redeem you and make you his own precious beloved people? Peter speaks of this when he says, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree of the cross, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. Hey, that's a baptismal reference there. By his wounds, you have been healed. By the wounds he suffered on the cross, you have been set free from your sin, and Jesus, your shepherd, continues to forgive you. The church is not a gymnasium, it has been said. The church is a hospital for sinners. And by and through the Holy Gospel, Jesus is healing you until that ultimate healing that takes place following your death, when you are brought into the presence of the triune God, when you are raised again, just as our Lord was raised again. Next, Jesus speaks of the Holy Christian Church as a whole. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, that are not Jews in other stand, not Jews by their ethnicity or anything, but rather those who trust in him, those who will come to trust in him. Jesus says, I must bring them also. I must gather them also into my flock. And here we have the sheep defined. The sheep of Christ are those who will listen to his voice. Again, that voice is something present for us, something that we hear, something that we are strengthened by in the Word of God, in the Gospels, and in the preaching of the Gospel. If I'm up here rattling off sports statistics or the RAM of the computer I have or whatever it may be, hey, I'm being an unfaithful shepherd. But if I am truly proclaiming the gospel to you, the word of God to you, that's the good shepherd speaking to you. That's your opportunity to hear the voice of the good shepherd. Not that I have any particular status or particular holiness about me that I may preach the gospel of Christ, but rather I have been called as a pastor, as all pastors have been called, to proclaim Jesus and his gospel faithfully, so you may listen to his voice and may believe. So there will be one flock, Jesus concludes in today's gospel reading, there will be one flock and one shepherd. All believers in Christ of every age, all who trust in him for salvation, all who rightly confess the faith, all who look to Jesus to protect and deliver them. There is one flock of Christ. In the creed, we confess this flock as the Holy Christian / Catholic Church. And when you hear that word Catholic, do not be afraid of it. This is referring not to the Roman Catholic Church, but rather to that Holy Christian Church Christ has established and created by his death on the cross, by his resurrection, by the continuing proclamation of his word, by holy baptism, by the sacrament of the altar. There will be one flock and one shepherd. So, to wrap it up, hopefully without blathering on too long. You are members of the flock of Christ by the grace of God. You have one shepherd, your Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for you. He took up his life again in the resurrection. He sits at the right hand of God. And by such a miracle that we can't understand, God, who became man in our Lord Jesus Christ, is seated in the place of honor and power at God the Father's right hand. Not a literal right hand or anything, but the place of authority and power and grace in heaven. And he is there for you. He is there for you as his good shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.